The blue and gold shield of Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment Company. Warner Brothers presents a Jerry Weintraub production. A film by Louis Yosa, starring Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone, James Woods, The Specialist. A Jeep speeds along a tree-lined road, Bogota, Colombia, 1984. Two men dressed in camo gear emerge from the trees. One man is muscular with dark hair. The other has fair hair and wears sunglasses. The dark man looks through binoculars at a huge dam. The other man.
Nice view.
The dark man lowers his binoculars and glances at his partner. The two men jog purposefully across the top of the dam. The dark man clambers over the side railings and leaps onto a wooden walkway below. Looking around him, he removes his backpack and kneels down by a metal strut. He removes a large bundle of explosives from his bag. He attaches the explosives to the strut, pulling down the aerial on the detonator. Hidden amongst the trees on the edge of the dam is the other man, who watches his colleague from a safe distance. The dark man moves on to the next strut. He adds another bundle of explosives. The other man now holds the explosive control device. A yellow Jeep appears on the road on the other side of the dam.
Perfect timing.
The fair-haired man activates the explosives. 1 minute and counting. The men meet up. The dark one looks through his binoculars at the Jeep. There's a little girl on the back seat.
Wait a minute. He's not alone.
That's a heartbreaking piece of news.
Pull the plug, Ned. There's a kid in the car.
The drug lord in the car, Ray. The kid just took a bad ride, that's all.
Abort the action.
You're the rigger. I am the trigger. I make the call. You just sit back and watch the show. Okay, sport?
Ray grabs him.
Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho!
Is it tip, Ray? There is no failsafe. God! Come on!
Ned has tossed the control device into the trees. Ray races back onto the dam. Ned eyes Ray dismissively as he sprints across the expansive dam. The Jeep draws nearer as Ray reaches the first bundle of explosives. Ray struggles to deactivate it as the Jeep turns onto the dam.
You'll never make it.
Ray races to the next bundle of explosives. The Jeep is now almost above it. Ray runs frantically onwards, stopping suddenly when he realizes he's too late. The little girl stares down at him. The Jeep is thrown upwards on a roaring cloud of explosive fire. Ray leaps off the dam. He lands in the swirling water below. The burning carcass of the Jeep plummets after him. Ray emerges from the water gasping for air. As the flaming Jeep begins to sink behind him, he makes his way to the rocky shore, pulling himself to safety. Ray fights to breathe, pushing himself up on his hands and knees. Ned appears in front of him, a gun held in his hands behind his back. Ray slowly gets to his feet and moves towards Ned. Ned reacts quickly, holding the gun up to Ray's face. Ray stops dead.
You're an arrogant man, Raymond. I taught you everything you know, and you dare to turn on me.
You gotta kill me too, Colonel.
You're a specialist, kid. You deserve better.
Ned high kicks Ray, knocking him down. Ray, his face bloody, hunched on his hands and knees, glares up at Ned. Ned starts to go.
Don't forget to write, partner.
Ray lunges forward, tumbling Ned to the ground, face down. Ray straddles him. Ray brings a fist down between Ned's shoulders, then rolls him over, punching him repeatedly in the face.
You like watching it die? You like taking them down? No, I'm taking you down. You're finished in the agency. You're going nowhere. You're as dead as those people. And her. You're both.
Ray drops Ned back onto the rock, staring at him with disgust. Miami Beach, Florida, present day. The titles continue, with Rod Steiger and Eric Roberts. A glamorous woman sings by a white grand piano on an island in the middle of a pool at a beachside bar.
Stuck inside this lonely place, wondering if I'm ever gonna see your face. It can bring you down.
Chic men and women mingle, talking and drinking together. Waitresses carry trays expertly through the throng. A couple kiss, leaning against a palm tree.
You know it's not too late, can't be too soon, to be lost and found, to be up and up.
Bikers sit on their motorcycles on the road next to the bar. In an unlit phone box across the way, Ray stands looking around him. There's a bugging device attached to the receiver. A small laptop rests on the shelf in front of him. He inserts a mini disc into it and then taps on the keypad. On the screen, The Weekend Warrior BBS. You have mail waiting. The message reads, "Lonely, an outsider like you. 555-4211. Ray reads the message, picks up the receiver and dials.
Have you decided to take the job?
I saw your ad today. I know it's late.
It's never too late. After all, you're about to give me a new life.
Really, when?
When you kill those three bastards.
I'm flattered. Look, you better get somebody else.
I like your voice.
Yeah, but you don't need an explosive contract to put a job like this.
Yes, I do. You are my only hope.
Go to court, use the law.
The law's been bought.
Then you gotta use a bullet.
Bullets are imprecise. I heard that you control your explosions, that you shape your charges.
What I shape and what I shape before is my business.
All I'm saying, word is you are the best.
Whose word?
If we could just meet.
I don't meet. I don't work in Miami. I don't do jobs like this.
Then why do you keep calling me back?
Why? I like your voice.
Ray now walks through the bar. A grey and white cat trots along at his feet. Ray looks down at the cat and continues walking. His eyes move over the various women who lounge in the bar. As Ray walks away from the bustling Miami nightlife, the cat still follows him. Ray stops at a bus stop and looks down at the cat. It rubs itself against his legs, arching its back in pleasure. Ray bends and picks the cat up in one large hand.
What is it, my cologne?
A 95 bus, the Downtown Express, pulls up. Ray, still clutching the cat, climbs on. Morning. A distinctive ornate house is bathed in sunlight on the edge of a quiet harbour. Ray watches from the other side of the water, a bottle of beer in his hand. People sit at tables around him. A beautiful blonde woman comes out of the house. She's dressed elegantly in a short white suit. Ray studies her intently. The beautiful woman walks slowly across a churchyard. She holds a bunch of red, white and pink roses. Ray observes her, a camera clutched in his hand. The woman removes her shoes and kneels down by a grave. She places the roses in a vase. Nearby, Ray, with an earpiece, listens to one of his taped telephone calls.
These guys are killers. You'd be doing the world a favor.
I don't know the world any favors. Why did you wait so long?
I thought maybe it would pass. Every day is worse. remembering what happened. That's what I do instead of being alive. My father hid me in a closet. I could still see.
A flashback.
My mother suffered.
Help.
I don't know anything.
They tortured her to get my father to talk.
Well, we're gonna have to get her.
He walked by something he shouldn't have seen.
They covered his face with the pillow from my bed.
Waist.
But it was too small. So they shot him. I never thought blood would be so sticky. Sometimes I think I could never wash it off.
Ray continues to watch the beautiful woman as she kneels pensively by the grave. Night. Ray cuts out a clipping from an old newspaper. May Monroe still alive after parents are killed.
The only thing I understand anymore is revenge. I'm going in, and I'm going to do it myself.
You'll only get one of them.
That's why I need you. To do it right.
I told you, I don't do this kind of job anymore.
He changes the mini-disc in his small laptop. While he listens, Ray holds the newspaper clipping and a photo of the beautiful woman he watched in the graveyard.
I know you've been watching me, trying to decide if I'm on the level. If you're gonna take the job. Well, I can't wait anymore. I'm going in.
They'll make you.
I have an alias. Adrian Hastings. Wish me luck.
A carnival-style dancer with a pink ruffle attached to her sequin G-string dances on stage with others like her.
Oye.
Men dance around the women holding candles as they kneel in front of them and move to the music. In front of the stage, men and women in black tie enjoy the party. Ned Trent stands alone. The bearded thug from May's flashback nods a greeting to the young man who controlled the murders and an older man.
Señor León.
Yeah.
The two men move on.
So, how's it coming in?
Ah, boy. Don't give up, huh?
It's back in Monopoly boxes.
Well, he's right over here. I want you to meet him.
That's great, Papa. All right, you get it and I'll put it on the street.
Sure, you do that.
Joe Leon goes, leaving his son.
Tamayo, come here.
He stops and turns.
How you doing, Ned?
It was a very nice party.
Yeah.
You went all out, it's fantastic.
Tamayo, Thomas, is a handsome young man.
So let's talk numbers.
Forget business tonight. You have yourself a nice little moolah.
I want my money, Tamayo.
Thomas pulls out an envelope.
An advance. Small token of my family's goodwill.
Token? Token.
Ned gives the money from the envelope to a passing waitress.
Now listen to me, boy. You know what the Dark Ages are? The Dark Ages are what I brought the Leon family out of. I computerized your operation. I streamlined your security. I dragged you into the 20th century. So don't fuck with me on this. What is this? Tip? I don't work for tips. She works for tips. Okay? Now I want my money. I want it now. Go get it.
Thomas summons the waitress.
It's always a pleasure working with you, Ned.
Thomas puts the wad of cash back in his pocket and walks away from Ned. A white stretch limo pulls up outside the party. The door opens and an elegant foot appears, clad in a strappy black shoe. It's May, the beautiful blonde Ray has been watching. She looks stunning in a long, figure-hugging, pale pink dress. She strides alone into the party, her head held high. Ned is on the dance floor enjoying the music with a dark-haired woman. May looks around her. Recognizing Thomas, she looks away from him, stony-faced, glances back, then walks on. Thomas has noticed her and gazes after her, transfixed. May stops at the bar.
Champagne, please.
Smoking a cigar, Thomas continues to stare at May, looking her up and down unashamedly. Ned, still dancing, also notices her. By the bar, May looks uneasily over her shoulder. Thomas, his eyes fixed steadily on May, starts walking towards her. Ned observes from the dance floor. May takes her drink from the barman.
Thank you.
May takes a sip of her champagne, aware that Thomas is standing nearby. As in her flashback, Thomas blows a large smoke ring from his cigar. May looks up, their eyes meet. She looks away, half smiling. Fireworks go off in the harbour, illuminating the night sky. Roman candles spell out the name of a bank. Thomas moves closer to May. He leans against the bar beside her. She looks round at him.
Is there something you want?
What I want, I take. Champagne.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She takes the glass from him.
Welcome to our bank. I've never seen you before.
I used to live here when I was a little girl.
A lot's happened since you've been gone.
Like what?
Like me.
Insecurity is a terrible thing.
It would be. I'd like to dance.
What's wrong with keeping the conversation going?
Later. Right now, I'm taking what I want.
Thomas leads her to the dance floor.
You look beautiful tonight.
Thomas pulls her close as they dance. He stares steadily into her eyes. She stares back, then looks away, her expression hard with discomfort. Ned, now drinking champagne on the edge of the dance floor, watches them dance. May gazes blankly over Thomas's shoulder as they move slowly round in the center of the dance floor.
I'll have my driver pick you up tomorrow, and I'll show you my Miami.
In his sparse, darkened apartment, Ray lifts the gray and white cat off a work surface. He carries the cat with him and stands in an open doorway. He stares out at a tall railway bridge which crosses the river in front of him. Ray looks at his watch.
Right on time.
A train crosses the bridge. Ray stares thoughtfully out into the night. He strokes the cat affectionately, then holds it up to his face.
Should I do a timer?
The next day, Ray gets onto a bus. On the front is written Downtown Miami. At the back of a bus is a rowdy gang of youths. One harasses a young girl. He keeps touching her hair.
Baby, come on.
You're kind of young to be riding this bus alone, aren't you?
Stop it.
What?
Come on, young one.
I'm not good enough for you?
Joe, don't move over.
I want to play.
Ray eyes them as he walks towards the back of the bus. He sits down. The bus stops at a half-open bridge. A pregnant woman stands near Ray. He looks up at her.
Here, why don't you take my seat?
As Ray gets up, one of the gang jumps into the empty seat. Ray goes to him.
That seat's taken.
The young guy ignores Ray. Ray turns to the pregnant woman and takes off his sunglasses.
It's all right.
Hold this, please.
Ray goes back to the young guy and flings him backwards off the seat. Ray kicks the guy, then picks him up.
Hey!
Stop!
What's going on?
Stop!
Stop!
You're dead!
Throwing him through the bus window. The other passengers stand staring in disbelief. The pregnant woman moves towards Ray gingerly and hands him back his sunglasses. He puts them on and points at the now empty seat.
I believe there's a vacancy.
A large black Mercedes, followed by an older white Mercedes, drives down a quiet Miami street, lined with palm trees and greenery. The cars stop and the driver gets out of the black Mercedes, opening the rear passenger door. Tomas gets out of the other side of the car and watches as the driver holds the door open for May. Tomas and May wander into a small bar. May puts her silver cigarette case and sunglasses down on the counter.
So what do you drink?
Martini.
Martini on the rocks, gold tequila straight up.
Tomas turns back to look at May.
No one knows Miami like I do. You like spending the day with me?
Yeah.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Kiss me.
Hardly know you.
Tomas leans forward and kisses her.
Wait till you try spending the night.
He pouts his lips.
Señor?
Tomas takes his drink, then runs his eyes up and down May's body. She doesn't look at him.
Thanks.
May takes her martini and the two of them make a silent toast before drinking. The bearded man from May's flashback walks into the bar. Tomas looks up and sees him. The two men stare steadily at each other.
Stay here. I'm gonna take care of something.
Got a light?
May doesn't look at Tomas as he goes. She takes a cigarette from her case. As the cigarette is lit, she looks up.
Is this that piece of shit?
May stares with recognition at the bearded man as he grabs a young guy. The bearded man begins to punch the young guy in the stomach. May recalls her parents' murder.
Where were you, Thurman?
Tomas takes his turn. May walks away from the bar.
Thanks.
Tomas looks at her and then gives the young guy another punch. May walks out into the street. Ray sits at a table on the opposite side. She crosses the road and, stopping close to Ray, buys some cigarettes from a vendor.
Thanks, Amir.
Ray watches May closely as she puts the cigarettes into her silver case. Tomas walks up to her.
What happened to you?
I just didn't like the show, that's all.
He takes the case.
You don't walk away from me.
He touches her face.
Ever. You understand?
Sorry.
Ray listens to them.
Get in the car.
Sure.
Smiling, May lets herself be directed back to the black Mercedes. Ray watches them. It's nighttime at the Fairmont Garden restaurant. May, in a short black dress, is dancing with Tomas. Ray watches them, listening once again to a recording of his phone conversations with May.
Every time he touches me, I mean, it's the man who shot my father, and he's kissing me, and
you don't have to do it.
It's the only way I can get close enough to kill him.
Ray finds it hard to look as Tomas runs his hands over May's body.
See, I have this dream. I'm right there when it happens. He looks at me like I'm a stranger. And I say my name. And it's the last thing he ever hears.
They don't suspect you.
I'm trusted, for the moment.
May and Tomas still dance.
He's with you all the time. How do you live?
Alone.
That's not what I mean. How do you live? With your son.
How do you?
Tomas and May leave the dance floor. May has her arms folded protectively across her chest. Tomas lights a cigarette, then puts his arm around her. Outside, Ray watches from the other side of the road as they wait for their car. Ray holds a camera down by his side and takes pictures of them as Tomas stands behind May, running his hand along the top of her thigh, pulling up her dress. The Mercedes pulls up and May gets in. Tomas tips the attendant before getting in himself. Ray continues to take photos. As he climbs into the car, Tomas sees Ray and eyes him threateningly. The car pulls away but stops immediately at a red light. Ray walks in front of the car and stares in as Thomas leans across the back seat and kisses an impassive May. As Ray walks round the car, Thomas looks up and their eyes lock. Thomas gets out of the car. Ray keeps walking.
Hey, you!
Ray stops and half turns towards Thomas.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Ray looks around as Thomas nears him.
You think you know me? I asked you a question. You think you know me? Because the way you're looking at me, we must be old friends. Where do we meet?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. You like the bitch? Huh?
Ray glances at the car, then starts to go. Thomas grabs his arm.
Maybe you like me.
Thomas purses his lips.
No, I don't like you.
And don't stare so hard. Somebody could.
Thomas opens a flick knife.
Put something in your eye.
Thomas holds the point of the knife up to Ray's cheek. He doesn't flinch. The two men stare menacingly at each other until Ray turns calmly and walks away. May waits in the car, her face expressionless. She stares ahead as Thomas climbs back in.
Let's move it.
Thomas moves close to May, draping his arm around her. The black Mercedes pulls up outside a hotel and May gets out. Smoking a cigarette, she walks from the car unsteadily.
Adrian.
Thomas holds May's handbag. She goes back for it. Grabbing her wrist, he pulls her down to the open window and kisses her greedily. Eventually, she pulls back and, taking her handbag, walks away from the car. As Thomas is driven away, she wipes him from her lips. Steadying herself, May walks away from the hotel. Back at home now, May stands on the wooden floor of her bedroom. She undoes the black dress, letting it fall to her feet. She kicks it into her hand, dropping it into a laundry basket, before sitting down heavily in a chair. May lights a cigarette, her whole body shaking. She drags on the cigarette through gritted teeth, then covers her eyes with her hand, holding back angry tears. She starts, then picks up the phone.
Yeah.
Are you listening? First rule, don't go near them again. Second rule, don't contact me. I'll contact you.
Maybe I can help you. Let me see if...
No. They're my problem now and I'm theirs.
May looks up and starts to move.
Are you close enough to walk over?
She sidles up to the window wearing only shoes and a G-string. In a phone box by the harbour, Ray turns out the light.
Rule 3. If this is a setup, I kill you.
In the darkened room, May's slender figure is silhouetted against the window, illuminated by light shining up from the harbour below. She moves to another chair where she looks out into the night. Outside in the phone box, Ray takes the bug off the phone and replaces the receiver. Ray walks slowly away into the night. Up in her room, May still stares out of the window. A single tear rolls down her cheek. In a seedy office, a young woman stares at a fish tank. As she blows gum, a man comes into the office.
Hey, Manny.
Now what?
I'm serious. That cop was a regular. Juanita's moving in on me.
Get the hell out of here. I don't solve domestic problems.
Asshole.
She struts out. The bearded thug from May's flashback walks into a bar. Ray is sitting at the bar smoking a cigar. The bearded thug walks past him and out through the back to some bedrooms. He opens a door where a sexy young woman sits on a bed, putting on her lipstick.
Oye, don't go anywhere.
I'll be right back, Don Boncito.
Lucky me.
He smiles and shuts the door. He walks back through the bar where Ray is still sitting. Ray watches him closely as he goes through some double doors on the other side of the room. The bearded man walks into the office with the fish tank. Manny sits at his desk going through the accounts. He looks up.
Hey, Charlie.
Señor.
Out front in the bar, Ray gets up and goes over to the other side of the room, where he leans on the bar, keeping his eye on the double doors.
JB.
In Manny's office...
The word is, Manny. You're skimming. Somebody's lying. Hey, I never took a dollar.
I hope it ain't you. Because if you're trying to screw your Leon...
Come on, Charlie! You know me, what, 10 years? Hey, I'm clean.
Good. Very good. Then you have nothing to worry about, do you? Let me see the books.
Out front, Ray moves to the double doors. He stands in front of them, facing into the room. He smiles at one of the girls, then carefully places a device where the two doors meet. He presses a switch which is attached to the device by a wire, crossing the crack between the doors. In Manny's office, Charlie is looking through the books. He glances over his shoulder at Manny, who watches him nervously. Ray walks away from the double doors. The gum-blowing prostitute walks towards them. He stops her.
What?
How about a drink?
Sure.
The prostitute goes back towards the bar with a relieved Ray.
September's missing. See you, Manny.
Charlie shoots Manny through the head. At the bar, Ray is drinking with the prostitute. He sees Charlie through the fish tank, heading back towards the bar. Ray takes a remote control from his pocket. Ray flicks a switch, activating the device on the door. Charlie is about to open the door. His phone rings.
What? I'm working here. You have 2 fucking hours, come mierda. Con su madre, hijo puta.
Charlie opens the door and the explosion sends him flying back into Manny's office. Those in the bar panic, running for cover. The prostitute clings to Ray.
Get another job, kid.
As the bar fills with smoke, Ray leaves the prostitute looking bewildered. At the Leon's place, Ned wanders up to Joe and Tomas, who are eating by the pool.
They got 2 bodies in there. Something that used to be Charlie, and a clean hit on your brothel manager. That was a bright move. Something you ordered, Tomas, and didn't bother to tell me about?
He was a thief.
Tell me about the bomb.
Very clean. There was no damage to the left or right of the blast. The item that was used to set it off was impacted inside the C4, so the arming device was vaporized. Brilliant planning, totally professional. Gotta be a specialist. This guy is good, Joe.
Yeah, okay.
He could put a bomb in your crab shell, you wouldn't even know it.
Joe looks up unamused. Tomas...
I'll kill the son of a bitch.
You can't kill anybody, Tomeo, until we know who he is, can you?
I'll find him. The important thing to find out who he works for, right? Maybe he works for the CIA, maybe he works for the Mafia, the Italians, I don't know, but we have to find out who, okay?
Overview, Joe. We have to ask ourselves, what does eliminating Charlie mean in the overall picture?
Nothing.
Less than nothing. So this target wasn't territorial. It was personal.
How the fuck do you know so much? You're just guessing, Papa. Let me take a couple of the boys. I'll find out who this bastard is.
Now, wait a minute. Give me a second here. I have to make a decision. Little time to think here, huh?
Joe looks from Ned to his son.
Okay. You take over, okay?
Papa.
I said Trent will handle it, okay? I don't hear you saying okay.
Okay, Papa.
What would you say?
Okay, Papa.
That's nice. Thank you.
Joe goes, leaving an angry Tomas, who gives Ned the finger.
I'm gonna need resources on this one, Joe. And also, the place was crawling with cops. I can't be tripping over fucking civil servants every move I make. I need total control.
Yeah, okay, well, I will take care of that, you know? Personally.
By the river, Ray walks down some stairs to a jetty. Ray looks at his watch, then lets himself into a small wooden building at one end of a bridge. A young kid on a motorized bike stops outside a door at the other end of the same bridge. He takes a brown paper bag of groceries from the basket at the front of his bike. He rings a buzzer next to a door. And leaving the groceries outside, drives away. Once the boy's gone, Ray opens the door and takes the groceries inside. He walks through a tunnel. Water drips from above as he makes his way along the darkened walkway. At the end of the tunnel, he turns left through a doorway, goes up some steps, and through a hatch in the floor above. His cat runs to greet him.
Hello, Tamer. Having a good day?
Ray puts a whole fish on the floor in front of the cat. The cat sniffs at it. Still carrying the groceries, Ray slides open a large mesh door and goes into an area totally sealed off by mesh fencing. He goes to his computer and switches it on. A structural picture of the building appears and the words, "Scanning exterior perimeter, scanning interior perimeter. Good afternoon, Ray. There are no potential intruders." Later, Ray exercises as he listens to more of his recordings of May.
I saw it on the news. You got the first one. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm just doing my job. You gotta stay away from the other two.
I could help you. I could set them up for you.
No, you just stay away from those guys. The future's about to become very dark.
You're still following me, aren't you? It's gotten so I can feel you.
It's all part of the work.
Do you think about me? I think about you. My own personal ghost. Or angel, maybe. We could meet.
You are a beautiful woman. But I don't meet. When this is over, I should leave.
When are you gonna do it?
Soon. Very soon.
At the Leon's place, Joe introduces a visitor to Ned and Thomas.
Amigos, Trent, you know, the chief of police. Trent is going to work with us on this problem, you know. I mean, he was a former employee of the CIA, and he is an explosive expert, and I think he can be a big help.
I don't know. This has become very public, and I'm sure you want to keep a low profile.
The chief gets up.
Yeah, please, Via.
It'll be hard for Ned to go unnoticed, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, I think there's more involved here than keeping a low profile.
The chief takes a cigar from a box.
I venture to say that I'm the one you can trust, which is the main word here, Joe, trust. To take him out clean.
Our bomb boys are some of the best in the world.
Really, Chief? Well, I hope that's true. They better be fucking magicians, because this is one very impressive man.
What are you, a fucking fan?
Okay, come on, stop that. This is serious, right? Don't you two start. We're here to find a way to protect the business. Don't forget that. Is that understood? Okay, Chief. I have to tell you that this one is not negotiable.
Look, Joe, I'll do what I can. Put him on as a Fed or something.
Ned and Joe appeared amused by this.
Okay. Hasta luego, amigos.
Joe.
Take care.
Chief, always a pleasure.
Hey, Chief, good to see you again.
Hey, Tomas.
See you, bud.
Tomas and Ned leave.
Okay, Danny. Here, help me out. Oh, boy.
I hit the deep cut.
Yeah. Okay. Now, listen. Danny, you do me a favor, huh? You do your best to make this thing look official. Now, please, you do that, and I promise you, I will not forget you. Okay?
The chief starts to go.
Danny, man's gotta eat, no?
Joe holds up a thick envelope. The chief takes it and goes. Joe stares after him. Ned stops in front of a police station in his Porsche. He strides inside, wearing a white jacket over his shirt and tie. He stops a uniformed cop.
Hey, Sport, where's the bomb squad?
Ned walks through the police station with confident authority. He grins as he walks into the bomb squad division. Smiling, he runs his hands through his hair.
Hey, come on, boys and girls, come on. What are we doing here? Let's look alive, huh? What do you got?
We're looking into everyone at the party, doing a complete background check, okay? Give me the next one, all right?
On the computer screen, a picture of May at the Leon's party in her pink dress. Ned looks uneasy.
Tell you what, I'll handle the biographies. You go back to Trace and C4. Okay, Ace?
Ace turns as Ned walks off.
Chief says you're on this? Fine. But I don't take orders from any ex-anything. All right, Ace?
And I gotta tell you something. I mean, I'm sorry, but I thought your chief said that the fullest cooperation would be forthcoming. And I gotta tell you something, Sport. This doesn't feel like full cooperation to me. I mean, look at this shit here. What is this? This is, shouldn't this be in the lockup? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys are the experts. Maybe you don't need me. I mean, like, what is this? This is,
He smells something.
This is Semtex. Am I right? Plastique. Plastic explosive. Am I right? I don't know. You're the expert. I mean, this little bit could blow up this whole area, and if this area goes, then the whole building could go up. Am I right? Gosh, I don't know. I mean...
A pen.
Maybe if I put this in here...
Semtex in the pen.
What else do we have here? Oh, this is a plunger detonator, am I right? And that's a little mini receiver. You know, this looks like American circuitry to me, and I gotta tell you, call me a patriot, but American craftsmanship, it's the greatest in the world. See? Watch this. Here we go. Let's just see. Yep. Perfect fit. First time, every time. Screw it on, and one little twist, and voila, a perfect receiver bomb. Which, of course, is absolutely worthless without a transmitter.
The pen is now a bomb.
But hey.
Ned turns on a timer and flicks down the end of the pen.
20 seconds and we're hot. Okay. Okay. Now you deactivate it, you sanctimonious prick.
Okay, you cut that shit, Trent.
Oh, yeah? Huh? Come on, come on.
Okay, you made your point, all right?
Have I? Huh? Huh?
Okay, that's enough.
What do you mean it's enough? You think I give a shit if this whole fucking block goes up? I don't. You mean you've had enough? Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Enough is enough!
Huh?
I can't do it.
12.
What the hell are you? You crazy or something?
I'm the craziest person you'll ever meet in your life. 6. 5. 4.
The timer is on 1 second. Ned flicks up the end of the pen. Ace is still clutching the rest of the Semtex. Ned moves in close.
Now here's a tip. You take care of the shit work. And you leave the folks at the party to me. Okay? We on the same page here?
The two men eyeball each other.
Peace.
A helicopter flies low over the ocean, heading towards an expansive glass-fronted house. A pool in front of the house ripples in the wake of the helicopter as it lands. Thomas and May get out of the helicopter and walk across the helipad towards the house. The sun shines off the sea in the background as they walk past the pool, nearing the marble-floored house. Behind them, minders carry their suitcases. Thomas holds May's hand as they go inside.
How do you like it?
I like where I live.
I like you where I live.
The minders leave. May walks through the expensively decorated open-plan room, up 4 marble stairs to a raised level. Thomas watches her closely, removing his sunglasses.
Better than what you used to, huh?
You know, the next time you order a hit, you might want to consider taking out your decorator.
Thomas stares coldly. May smiles.
You like to look dangerous.
Little danger never killed anybody. Right, baby?
Sometimes.
Now sitting in a chair with her long legs crossed seductively, May plays with her shoulder-length blonde hair as Thomas moves closer. He kneels down beside her.
You know, when I look at you, I see something I like very much. You know what it is?
I'm breathless with anticipation.
I see me.
Thomas bends to kiss her bare legs. As he continues, she looks away in disgust, recalling the past.
Let's get this shit over with.
Thomas gives orders to a chubby mustachioed man who holds May's father round the neck. As she remembers, her eyes glaze over with hatred. Back in the present, it's nighttime in Miami. Ray walks purposefully through an underground car park. The chubby mustachioed man throws money on a bed for a prostitute.
Wait a minute.
She picks up the money.
You're the mob's accountant, Bill. Is that all you've got for me?
No. I have something else for you.
He blows her a kiss.
See you guys.
Don't touch that! It could be a bomb.
Bill takes the pack of cigarettes anyway.
Very funny.
He leaves the hotel room and in the corridor hesitates with his finger over the button for the lift. He looks around anxiously, starts to head for the stairs, then turns back and presses the lift button. The lift arrives, the doors open and Bill goes inside. He presses a button and the lift goes down. Ray still wanders in the underground car park. He hears the lift and looks over his shoulder. Bill steps out of the lift. Looking around him, he walks over to his convertible car. The top is down. He takes the keys from his pocket but stops just before opening the door. He leans over the car and looks in at the interior. Then he bends down and looks under the car. A bundle of dynamite is stuck to the undercarriage. Ray walks nearby. Bill pulls off the bundle of dynamite and carefully stands back up.
Son of a bitch.
He slowly removes the detonator. Relieved, Bill looks across at the young car park attendant.
Becky?
The attendant leaps up out of his booth.
Look at the way you parked my fucking car!
Sir, I didn't park your car.
Bill tosses him the keys.
Sorry. I'll get it for you.
Bill moves behind a concrete pillar concealing the dynamite as the attendant gets into his car. The attendant reverses the car out of the space and stops. Bill comes out from behind the pillar and walks back over to his car. He holds the dynamite behind his back. The attendant gets out of the car and waits while Bill gets in, holding the door open for him.
Here's your tip.
Bill drops the dynamite into the attendant's hand. He stares down at it open-mouthed. Ray paces on an upper level. Bill drives up to the car park barrier and stopping looks around worriedly before tapping a code into the exit machine. He stares at the screen horrified. The number 9 appears and then counts down. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bye-bye. The front seat of the car explodes into the air, Bill's burning body still strapped in by his seatbelt. Ray watches from above as Bill lands on the ground, flames still eating at his body. The central part of the car is also on fire, black smoke rising from the wreckage. Ray turns and goes. Later, police cars surround the area. Ned walks towards the scene of the explosion and, pushing a police photographer to one side, peers over at the wrecked car.
Some right there must have been. Is this a decoy?
He looks at the dynamite.
The fuck is this supposed to fall? Any witnesses?
Over there.
That kid? Nice one, Ray. Clever boy.
He's holding the broken screen of the exit machine. He presses the exposed circuitry against his watch. The words bye-bye appear.
Bye-bye. He hasn't lost his sense of humor.
Ned is looking at the shaken attendant who smiles up at him.
Who gave you permission to smile? Shut up!
At the expansive house by the sea, May descends in a glass elevator. She turns to see Ned standing down below. Ned turns round as May comes out of the lift and pads across the floor in her bare feet.
Quite a step up for you, isn't it?
Depends on how you look at it. Look, Ned, Tomas is on his way.
Shut up! Who are you? I said, who are you? Who are you? Huh? I'll tell you who you are. You are nobody. I created Adrian Hastings. I got you inside. You work for me, and please don't you ever fucking forget it. Now, you're supposed to have him out in the open by now. You get your three corpses, I get Ray quick. That was the bargain. What happened, May?
I can't keep him on the line long enough to get a trace. He doesn't want to take a meeting. What do you want me to do, Ned? Wish him out of hiding?
You know, May, maybe you're in over your head on this thing. Maybe you've outlived your usefulness. Is that possible?
Listen to me, Ned. You need me. I studied him. I drew him out. It was my voice. It was my ads. He trusts me.
Why do I need you, May? Why don't I just grab him before he brings Tomas down? Why do you even need to live at all, May?
Because maybe he's not interested in a big mouth, hotshot asshole like you.
Ned puts his hands on May's shoulders.
You know what I've always loved about you, May? It's not just this poetry.
He fondles her breast.
It's your heart. It's the heart you bring to your work. But I promise you, if you don't get him to set up a meeting before he drops the third target, you will pray for a lifetime of Tomas's attentions. His delicate touch. I promise.
Don't touch me, Ned.
I'm sorry.
He twists her arm behind her back.
I've always wondered, May, what was it like? After you watched your parents die, did you go over to the bed? Did little May hug them? Did you try to shake them awake? How much blood? I'm just curious, was there?
He touches her cut lip.
A lot of blood, May.
Ned slaps May on the cheek and moves away from her. Her hair is ruffled and there are tears on her face. She stares after Ned, angry. Tomas walks into the room. He looks at May questioningly.
What the hell are you doing here?
Take it easy, hotshot. I'm just checking up on you.
I don't need you goddamn babysitting for me, Trent. Why the hell aren't you out there looking for who's hitting on us?
That's great, Tomas. What's the first move, huh? Door-to-door search, huh?
I'm sick of you. My father thinks he needs you. When he finds that he doesn't, you're mine.
Well, I feel threatened.
You are threatened.
Ciao.
Ned saunters away. Tomas turns quickly to look at May, who is hunched on a ledge like a frightened child. In the mesh room inside Ray's place, he sits at a workbench wearing magnifying goggles, his face covered in sweat. In In front of him in a clamp is a small white saucer. He uses a soldering iron to seal wires protruding through the bottom of the saucer. Turning the saucer round, he seals more wires in the intricate circuitry on its base. Ray glances up at a photo of May and Thomas together. He moves slightly to one side and painstakingly puts together the bomb remote control device. The cat begins to climb the mesh fence. Ray doesn't move from his task. The cat spots a rat and chases it across the floor. Ray is oblivious as he completes his work. The next day at a crowded hotel swimming pool, Thomas is playing cards with some friends at a table by the poolside.
Tony, Miguel, you in?
I'm in, boss.
Come on. Get it together. 500.
Thomas is wearing white baggy trousers. His toned chest is bare. Ray sits nearby on a sun lounger holding a tennis racket up to his face.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Thomas gets up and walks towards a private poolside cabin. Ray watches closely as Thomas disappears inside. A waiter comes out of the hotel pushing a trolley, laid with coffee for one. Observing closely, Ray presses a switch on his dummy tennis racket. He puts the racket into its case where a small coffee cup and saucer are concealed. The waiter with the trolley heads towards the cabin and leaves it outside. Inside, Thomas is preening himself in front of the mirror. He poses, tensing his muscles. Ray gets up and calmly switches his cup and saucer for the one on the trolley. As Ray walks away, one of Thomas's minders wheels the trolley into the cabin. Ray looks back over his shoulder to see May walking in behind the trolley. Ray struggles to get the tennis racket out of its case. In the cabin...
Just a second.
Thomas lifts the cup.
May Monroe.
May smiles as the explosion goes off. Ray races back towards the cabin. A security guard stops Ray. Ned is at the scene, a gun in his hand, sending minders in to retrieve the victims. Ray stands frozen to the spot.
Come on, get him out! Get him! Out!
May and Thomas are carried out. A smoke billows behind him. Ned looks around searchingly.
Good, May. Really good.
Ray stands in a phone box opposite May's house. Heavy rain is pouring down around him. Getting no reply, Ray puts down the receiver and walks out into the rain. He gazes across at May's house sadly. In a candlelit room, Joe Leon kneels in front of a white casket, bedecked with white lilies. Ned walks up the tiled corridor towards the grieving old man. Joe's face is contorted with sorrow. Ned stops behind him. Joe doesn't look round.
Joe, I am so sorry.
A solitary tear rolls down Joe's cheek and he closes his eyes. Ned starts to go.
You're sorry? My son... He's in a closed casket, and you are sorry. Well, I hold you responsible.
He wouldn't lay low.
What'd you say?
Still on his knees, Joe turns.
I said he wouldn't lay low.
What are you trying to tell me? That was his fault now?
That's the way it was.
The way it was? You were supposed to protect his back. His life was in your hands. You know what you do? You cut my heart out, you know? And now you look my...
Joe points desperately back at his son's casket.
My son is lying in a box.
Joe,
and you know, you were the one who let it out.
Joe,
Joe, you're not thinking straight.
Jesus Christ, don't you shut it to me. I swear to God, don't say another word. Not another word. I'll kill you here. Understand?
Joe slaps Ned, then turns and walks back towards the casket. Ned stares after him with unadulterated hatred.
Now, Joe. You go out and you find this explosive expert, and you bring him to me alive before I bury Thomas.
It's nighttime, and Ray stands in the darkened doorway of May's house. He lets himself in and closes the door behind him. He walks slowly across the wooden floor. He stops in the middle of the room, staring at the empty bed. He moves forward and pulls a chair away from a small desk. He sits down and opens a laptop which rests on the desk. He turns it on and studies the screen as it comes to life. The Weekend Warrior bulletin board system. Press enter to view your ads. I Know Your Solitude. 555-4211. Ray closes the laptop. Now Ray, kneeling by the bed, holds a small gold locket in his hands. Inside is a photo of May as a little girl with her parents. Ray sees May's black dress spread out on the bed and leans forward, touching it tenderly with his hands. Ned is reading the obituaries.
Agent Hastings, Miami-Dade County Services, 3 p.m. Friday, San Juan de Bosco. Too bad, May.
He's sitting at his desk in the police station. An attractive officer approaches him.
Her body's in cold storage at County General.
She gives Ned May's purse.
How does this sound? Lonely, needy, deeply hurt, will be discreet.
Story of my life.
She raises her eyebrows.
Yeah, so get this on every major bulletin board service. Route the response number through a long-distance exchange and be ready to trace, okay?
Okay.
Dressed in a black suit, Ray stops by his mesh-walled room. He goes inside and walks over to the beeping computer. On the screen, BBS, press enter to review your ads. The message reads, lonely, needy, deeply hurt, will be discreet. 555-4154. Ray smiles and goes.
Guys like this, if they're really good, they're not going to advertise. You've got to draw them out. Just do your best.
In the response room, Ned picks up a phone.
Hi, baby. Are you wearing any underwear? Would you send it to me?
Get rid of this asshole.
Yeah, well, I don't think your experience matches my needs, buddy.
Get rid of him.
That's what I'm doing. We've had 30 calls and nothing. I don't know if this makes any sense.
You know what? I'll decide if it makes any sense or not, okay? Go on, take it. Take it! Line 5, and...
Hello. Calling about the ad, right?
Ray's face falls.
Yeah.
Ned listens in.
Right.
Ned starts.
I thought you were someone else.
Ned records the call.
The ad was similar to others.
Yeah, well, give me a number, because I can talk on this phone.
No, forget it.
I've got a message. From May.
Who is this?
She's okay. She wants to meet you.
No, I don't think so.
Ned sits by the attractive female officer.
Put Trent on the line.
What did you say?
Trent, he should be standing right next to you. Put him on the line. I want to talk to him.
Ned grimaces.
Put him on the line!
Ned stands up and paces.
Hey, Ned, can you hear me? Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me, Ned. Your new playmates know what kind of man they're dealing with. Why the agency fired you, huh? That killing people, pulling the trigger on them is like jerking off for you. Just watching those blood and bodies going through the air is what really gets you off, doesn't it, Ned? Come on, talk to me, Ned. When you crawl into your hole at night, all alone, and you are all alone, aren't you, big guy? Tell me what burns you the most. Losing your job as a CIA attack dog, and knowing that I turned you in, and I'm still alive. Come on, talk to me! You sell your service to the highest bidder, won't you, you stinking maggot?
Fuck you, Ray! Fuck you! You killed! Your bombs! How many? 10, 50, 100 before you lost count? Was your bombs on the bridge in Bogota? Your bomb in the cabana? But you're getting sloppy, Ray. You broke your famous code, didn't you? You killed an innocent bystander, Ray. And it's just eating you up inside, isn't it? Well, you were always too fucking sensitive. But guess what? I'm coming, Ray. I'm coming to take all the pain away. I'm gonna fucking cut it right out of you. And I'm gonna close your heart in my hand. I'm right behind you. And I know you. I know you. You got no mercy. You got no fucking loyalty. And you got no code. Listen to me, you son of a bitch!
Right, what? Time's up. 58 seconds.
Ray! Ray!
Ned starts tearing at the equipment.
God damn it, son of a bitch! I'll fucking kill you! I'll vaporize your ass! What are you looking at?
The response team stare at their computers as Ned glares at their backs, watching their every move.
Nobody says a word. Now you tell me that you got a trace. Just tell me.
He jumped off before we locked him.
Okay.
We got a partial trace.
Shut up.
At a funeral, Ray walks in alone. He joins a few mourners at the front of the church.
She gave of herself. For 40 years, she dedicated her life generously, courageously, to all of us Cuban orphans everywhere. She has shown us the road, for the wages sin pays is death. But the gift God gives is everlasting life by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Ray walks to the open casket and peers in. An old woman lies within. Shocked, he turns and faces the mourners.
Ella se entregó durante 40 años. Dedicó su vida con generosidad y coraje.
Ray starts to walk towards the door and a veiled young woman. She turns as if avoiding the advancing Ray. They come face to face and he walks towards her as she leans against the wall. He grabs May roughly and stares angrily through her hat's veil and her sunglasses. He kneels in front of her, watching her as he runs his hands up her stockinged legs. He pulls up her skirt, revealing a small revolver tucked into the lacy band at the top of her black stocking. He removes it and stands.
Why did you do this?
I wanted to meet you. I wanted to know if you were everything I thought you'd be.
Nobody ever is.
He grabs her arm and pulls her away, dropping the gun cartridge in a font of water and putting the gun in his pocket. Ned's Porsche pulls up to the church. Ned gets out and strides briskly towards the casket, now being wheeled by the pallbearers to the back of the church. The procession stops.
Open the casket.
Who are you?
I said, open the fucking casket!
He points a gun at the priest, who opens the casket.
Bitch.
Fuck.
Ned stalks out. At a luxury hotel, Ray leads May by the arm across the lobby. In a room, May throws her handbag onto the bed and takes her hat off, staring at Ray, who eventually returns her gaze.
We shouldn't be here. Not if I want to stay alive.
Is it worth it?
I think so.
I hope so.
He turns her towards him. As they stand facing each other, they begin to kiss. He reaches up and undoes her hair. They continue to kiss. They begin to undress each other slowly. Ray bends over as he removes her jacket, running his hands up her legs, caressing her bottom, and pulling her close as she arches back. He kisses her neck. She lies back on the bed as he straddles her, taking off his shirt. They clasp hands and he pulls her up, so she's sitting on his lap, facing him. She lies back, Ray on top of her. Later, they move into the shower. Under a torrent of water they embrace. May leans against the tiled wall, her arms lifted above her head as Ray pushes against her. They kiss more and more passionately, the steaming water running down their toned bodies. Ray tenderly clasps May's face in his hands as she runs hers over his bottom. May closes her eyes as she holds Ray close. Gently, he leans her backwards towards the floor, her arm clinging tightly round his neck. On the tiled floor, they continue to kiss. May sits up, Ray supporting her head as he kneels over her. Now lying back on the tiles, Ray holds May's arms, which are stretched up above her head, against the floor. He moves slowly on top of her, his back arching. A pool of water begins to form around them as they hold each other close.
Why did you make me think I killed you?
I thought it was the only way I could get Tomas's men off my back.
You want to give me some details?
Poor lady OD'd in the emergency room. So I dropped my wallet in her purse and here I am.
He walks towards her.
That's pretty good, especially if you're an amateur.
They embrace.
You could have been killed.
I had to be there when he died. I needed to see it. Anyway, I knew you'd pick the safest route for everybody. I've studied your style. I know you always focused your detonation.
She lathers him from behind.
So I knew that if I was facing Tomas, right in front of him like this.
They face each other.
A little bit closer like this.
They kiss.
I knew I'd feel safe.
The next morning, as the sun rises over a backdrop of sea and palm trees, a bearded man approaches the hotel's reception with photos of Ray and May.
Excuse me. Police are looking for these two people. If you happen to see them, call the number on the back. Okay?
Hey, wait. I have seen them.
In the room.
May? May?
He glances at a room service table and seeing something walks to it. He picks up a note. Printed on a sheet of hotel stationery, it says, "I'm not a woman you can trust." In the lobby, May steps off the elevator wearing dark glasses. She walks rapidly across the lobby until she sees Ned appear from an escalator. She turns around. Ned catches up to her.
May?
He stands, arms open.
Back from the dead.
Ned! Jesus! Thank God. You know, I was just going to call you. About the funeral thing. Look, I'm sorry, but it's just... You know, it was the only way to really draw him out, and it worked. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You know, I used the attachment thing, and I got him. Couldn't stay away from me. So?
I just want to get one thing straight here, May.
Yeah?
You did all this to deliver him to me.
Uh-huh. Ned, we had a deal. I hold up my end of a deal.
You're a classic, May. Now, where is he?
He's here.
I know he's here. Where?
He's in the hotel.
I know he's in the hotel. Where?
Well, I'm going to kill him.
No,
he searches her.
This key?
He finds a gun.
I mean, I do have a key. Ned, he's on a high floor. I think it's like 10.
Take her to the car.
Or it's 11.
Go on.
I left my purse in the room,
May.
Ned. I have to...
Shut up. Take her to
Ned,
the car.
Ned, I have a couple of things I have. Stop kicking me around.
One of Ned's henchmen starts to lead her outside.
Oh, Harry, you've got to be kidding. You're so adorable. No, Harry,
he made me so nervous. Look, it'll take me 1 second. Where can I go?
The henchman waits outside as she ducks into the ladies' room.
Harry, listen!
A woman on a mobile.
Harry, she'll call you back.
Hey!
May shoves her.
Give me my phone!
She belts her and dials. In the lobby, the bearded man and Ned.
Room 1205.
Still clutching the note, Ray gets up slowly and answers the phone.
Leon's men are on their way up.
You set me up. Why?
I did not.
Moving quickly, Ray takes something from his jacket pocket, opens the vertical blinds on the large window, and throwing off the towel from around his neck, impatiently runs some Semtex along the window frame.
Let's go, let's get out. Come on, fire, come on, let's go, rush.
Ned takes over a lift.
Where are you going? Hey, use the stairs. This one's full. Get out of here. Get a new shirt.
The old man he turns away is wearing a loud print shirt. In the corridor, Ned and his four henchmen stride towards the double doors of room 1205. Ned puts his arms out, signaling them to stop. He eyes the door suspiciously. One man stands either side of the door, guns poised, as another carefully opens the lock with a key. All five men enter the room with guns drawn. By the window, a phone lies off the hook.
Sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or call your operator to help you.
The men move towards the enormous window with its view of the ocean. They check out the room, turning sharply, guns at the ready. One of the men picks up the phone and listens, then starts to hang up as Ned shouts.
No!
A blast sends the man flying right through the window. He falls through the air towards the ocean.
Don't move! Don't touch anything!
The blast has left the room built on a projected tier, tilting towards the sea below.
Come on, give me a hand!
As two men try to scramble to safety, a second blast breaks the overhanging part of the room. It plunges towards the sea below. The two men cling to the falling room as it hurtles directly towards the man already in the water. Upstairs, Ned surveys the damage. He looks down at the room still on the surface of the ocean. As Ned and the bearded guy run down the corridor in opposite directions, Ray enters the hotel kitchen and switches out the lights.
Is it here? Security, get him!
Hey!
A security man takes on Ray. Kitchen workers keep their distance as Ray flees and another man jumps him from behind. They slide over a steel counter and land on the floor. The man grabs Ray and holds him over a vat of boiling water. Ray's attacked with a meat cleaver. Ray kicks him, they fight. Ray gets the upper hand and pummels the man, dumping him into the vat of boiling water. As Ray flees, he shoves a sliding cart at a man with a gun. A nice swan is beheaded. Ray flings a knife at the man. It lands in his chest. As Ray hurries along a service corridor, the hotel alarm sounds again. He nears the lobby where the guests are evacuating the building. Ray sees the bearded man, gun at the ready. Ray ducks out of sight, watching him. When he's distracted, Ray comes out of hiding, surprising him. Ray nonchalantly punches him, then bashes him into a wall. Ned speeds in a Porsche across a bridge. May is his passenger. Inside his chic, high-ceilinged living room, Joe Leon walks towards Ned and May.
That's her.
Oh, who?
That's the bitch that was banging Tomas. Her ID was faked. Ray Quick is working for her.
Joe comes closer, staring intently.
Alice and Stan Monroe.
What are you talking about?
I was the kid your little boy missed.
Joe backs away, mouth open in recognition.
That was a long time ago.
Not to me.
Now I understand. Now I understand. You think that my son Tomas gave the orders for the killings. That was you wrong. If anybody in this house has power to give orders, it's me, you understand? I give the orders. I give the orders to who is killed and who is not killed. Is that understood?
She stares.
I need her, Joe, to get to Ray. I have to make one more telephone call and then you can have her. But I need her now.
You sure?
Joe, please.
Joe licks his finger and smears it down her cheek. She smiles coldly.
Take the bitch.
He checks around him suspiciously. Ned and May lean on Ned's Porsche, parked near some pilings on the water. Ned's mobile phone rings.
Showtime.
He hands it to May, keeping one earphone.
Hello?
It's me.
Look, I'm sorry, Ray. I didn't know they were coming. You gotta believe me.
I'll tell you what I believe. I believe you're very good on the phone.
Ned listens.
I need to see.
Let me sit up again? No, I'll pass. I'm through taking risks.
So that's it? We just walk away? Forever?
It's safer for everybody.
May paces and Ned follows.
Come on, Ray. I don't know what this relationship is about, but there's one thing I know. It's not based on safety.
You're too much of an unknown. Adrian Hastings, May Monroe. Who the hell are you?
Do you remember the fountain room?
I remember it.
Do you remember touching me, Ray? Do you remember my voice? Not over the phone, but carried on breath. On you. Near you.
Ray's eyes close.
Close enough to feel.
Why are you saying this to me?
Because I have to. Come on, Ray. You gotta see me. Please. Please, baby.
As Ned listens, smiling, Ray holds the phone away from his ear and looks around helplessly. May waits for his answer.
Double MC food right now.
Ned signals her to answer.
All right. And Ray?
I'm here.
Do you remember the note our relationship ended on? The last thing I said to you?
I remember everything.
I meant every word.
He hangs up. She hangs up too. He takes out her note. I'm not a woman you can trust. Ned drives her to the restaurant. Once parked, he checks it out in his rearview mirror.
You're going in alone, May. Now, this is a trap. I promise you, you're gonna die. But if he's in there, I want you to make him feel safe, secure, and I'll be listening. And this microphone. The second I hear his voice, let me move in. You understand?
He hands her silver cigarette case. Taking a cigarette from her case, she lights it. As she walks by Ned, he grabs her roughly by one arm, swinging her round.
This thing is all over. I could see us spending some time together again. You know, you wash the stink of Tomas and Ray off you. You might clean up pretty good.
He rubs her breast. She starts to leave, then decks him. He pulls a gun.
Go ahead. And then you can go in and get him yourself. I don't give a shit.
Come on!
He shoves her.
Move!
He keeps the gun trained on her as she walks across to the restaurant. He takes out a two-way radio.
If she blinks, kill her.
Three marksmen watch her from a bridge and two boats. Her eyes dart left and right as she walks towards the shabby restaurant, where lobster traps are piled by the entrance and in the parking lot. She goes in.
Bad plan, Ned.
That's it, boys. We gotta move in.
A huge fiery blast to the right of the restaurant creates havoc. Ned scans the boats on the river. A second blast sends marksmen flying. Live crabs rain down on a car near Ned.
Go, you chicken shit! What do you think you got? Top that? Get in there! Watch the river! Watch the river on the side street! Hey, fucking crab! Nice one, Raymond! Assholes, watch the river!
Ned stands, gun in hand, frustrated. A large motorboat speeds beneath a bridge. Ray stands, driving with May behind him. They look at each other and begin embracing. In a surveillance center, a man with a headset is interpreting recorded sounds for Ned.
What's that? Break it down.
Air brakes.
It's safer for everybody.
Complex sound, slightly muffled. People talking, clamping down steps. A clapping shut. Voices, mechanical sounds. Yes?
People getting off a bus! Yes! Yes! See, you have to have an overview. It's people getting off a bus. Are these sounds on both tapes?
Yes.
Yes, I knew it. Okay, buses. We gotta have bus routes. What do we have? Okay. He uses payphones, but he gets there by bus. Oh, Ray, always so precise. Okay, let's say he gets on a bus, wherever he lives, and he goes in both directions, right? Which is good counter-surveillance technique. And he takes the bus 20 to 25 minutes in each direction. So we have... Come on. Four, and four. There we go, triangulation. Three routes, that's it, bingo. Okay, we want to have checks in 5-minute intervals, right?
How about the restaurants in the area?
Restaurants?
He's got to eat sometime.
I try to remember. He would have gotten off the bus, walked in alone, maybe bought a pack of cigarettes. Look at that face, come on.
Actually, I told you that we have a lot of regular customers, but he ain't one of them.
Look at that face again, come on.
Nothing.
The delivery boy pulls up.
Hey, Henry.
The kid comes over.
I forgot to tell you we delivered.
Ned's eyes narrow as he looks at the boy. A neon stripe runs across the railway bridge which spans the river. In Ray's place by the water, he lies in bed, contemplating May in her black mini dress as she bends over, stepping into her stilettos.
Now there's a vision.
She drops the shoe, stands up and looks at Ray.
Good morning, stranger.
I gotta go.
Where I think we already were in our welcome at the Hilton.
She walks towards the bed and grabs his bare foot playfully.
I want to stay with you.
He raises his eyebrows.
But it's not over for me. Joe Leone ordered the hit.
Let me get this right. You think that killing Joe Leone is going to make everything all right?
Something has to. You did the job. I'm not asking for your help. I'll take care of it. I owe it.
No. You owe her.
He holds up her gold locket.
Her. A whole life. Come here. Come here.
She puts her jacket down, walks to the bed and sits. Ray puts the locket over her head.
Put all this behind you now, or the pests are gonna eat you alive. I know what I'm talking about.
She tucks the locket into her dress.
I have to go. Wish me luck.
No.
She bends to kiss him, then starts to leave. He gets up quickly from the bed, runs to the window and looks through the Venetian blinds. Police cars are gathering out front. As he runs, scores more cars arrive along with helicopters, boats and bomb squad trucks. Ray runs down steps, pulling on a t-shirt. He opens a large container. Inside, he opens a laptop.
Detonation sequence primed. Enter code.
Top of the world, Mike.
Control.
1, 2, 3.
Outside, marksmen take up positions. May joins Ray in front of the computer.
I'm afraid to ask.
This place is rigged for controlled explosions if the inner perimeter is breached. Each one of these lights is a pressure mine sequence. If one goes, they all go.
Where are they?
Everywhere. But don't worry, they're not armed yet. But if these lights turn red, worry.
A police helicopter lowers as Ned pulls up. He gets out, straightening his tie.
This is good. Nice sneak attack.
Do not approach the warehouse. Perimeter is armed.
Please, cut the bullshit.
Explosions occur around the perimeter.
That's a good one. I taught him that.
Ray works at the computer.
Nice sense of irony, blowing up the bomb disposal unit. Nice work, Ray.
Ray continues.
Warning. Gunfire will automatically detonate V-20s sufficient to destroy 2 square miles.
Yeah.
Ned is still unimpressed.
Give me that.
Ned grabs a loud hailer.
Listen up! Anybody shoots, and I shoot them! This whole place is wired, and I'm gonna take them alive! You got that?
He tosses the loud hailer back. A fan's propeller explodes into the air and crashes through a windscreen.
That's new. How's that feel, Ace?
Ned watches with disdain as armed police are positioned and repositioned in the chaos.
Same at your hour.
The attractive officer speaks to Ned.
You're crazy.
Ray taps in more orders.
Everything yourself. And why? You can't
can't get good help these days.
Ned's getting closer to the warehouse.
Site 5, report in.
A section of the warehouse explodes and collapses. Ned opens a small box, rearranging its contents.
Surprise for you, Ray.
Inner perimeter breach, Ray.
Right, set, let's go.
They run. A blast behind them opens the building.
Final construction sequence.
Don't move.
Initiated.
I'll lead you through the pressure vents.
Evacuate.
Ray.
Ned, gun drawn, appears through the smoke.
I'm sorry. Should I have knocked? All right. You lose, I win.
Ray moves towards May.
She's hot, Ray. Semtex, sprayed with nitro. Cigarette case. Honest engine, take a look. Just a peek, no touch.
Ray stops. As Ned advances, red lights on the floor below him activate.
And May, you might ask yourself, why is today die.
His steps are duplicated on the computer screen.
Take it out. Slowly.
She removes her cigarette case.
Open it up.
She opens it.
Everybody deserves to die. Ask God. He kills across the board.
A compartment in the case is wired.
So why shouldn't I? Bye.
Ned activates a timer.
And here's a tip I learned from you, Ray. It's a focused detonation. Only she blows. It's pretty nifty, huh?
Don't move it. The Mercury switch. You change it at the altitude it goes.
Got it.
Anyway, Ray, she's dead already. What I need is to take you alive because, you see, my boss, he wants to look in your eyes when you die. Okay?
Shit, fuck. Touched, really.
What happened to us, Ray? We were good together. You were the rigger, and I was the trigger. You shouldn't have taken me down. Look at us now, you fuck! Oh, I see you're still into the old memories, Ray.
Newspaper clippings on the wall.
Well, that's what always does you in, you know, with memories. Is that trying to save the innocent? Now your problem, Ray?
You're too sentimental.
Sometimes you can save your ass.
Ned steps onto Ray's booby trap.
Fuck me.
Here's a tip. No failsafe.
That's your bet.
Ned is thrown sideways, then up and backwards onto a staircase.
30 seconds to total destruction.
Right. Now slide it to me.
She starts to give him the case.
25.
Fledge your hands out.
20 seconds.
Get the hell out of here. Straight down the right side.
Not without you.
15 seconds.
Right behind you. Go on.
She leaves him.
10 seconds.
He holds the case. He tosses it and they run. They enter a trap door, the cat follows.
3 seconds.
The door slams shut. As one explosion after another rocks and destroys the building, Ray and May flee along the bridgeside tunnel. Fire follows them as they run down the tunnel. Debris falls in front of them.
Come on!
They continue to flee as exploding fire engulfs everything. Enormous orange and yellow flames fill the air along with debris as black smoke slowly begins to outline the inferno. At Joe's home, a servant brings him the newspaper.
Thank you.
The front page of the Miami Journal reads three dead in warehouse disaster. The article goes on to name Ned, May and Ray. Joe looks up at the heavens.
Joe, thank God. Thank
you. He puts the paper down and picks up an envelope, also left by the servant. Inside, he finds May's locket and opens it, looking at the photo of her and her mum and dad. From a distance, May watches, then walks calmly to a car where Ray waits for her.
How do you feel?
Better.
They drive off, May behind the wheel of a convertible Mustang, Ray distracting her from driving. The end. ITFC audio description was by Gloria Hattrick and Amy Delarabiti.